Perfect. Quick fire last question to everybody. Do you think there are any known unknowns or unknown unknowns out there that could change this debate in a year or 5 years? Maggie, anything that people are not talking about right now that could change this entire scenario for land-based?
Maggie's on mute.
Ah.
I am on mute, but I guess I just bought myself another few seconds to think about that, because that's a tough question. But I think if offshore aquaculture becomes more competitive, I think that might shift some capital away from land-based to offshore aquaculture. So I'd want to keep an eye on, and I do keep an eye on those developments and the feasibility of it.
Thank you. Same question to you, Eric.
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, no worries. Any known unknowns or unknown unknowns? Things that might change the whole debate on RAS land-based farming?
Where we're presently at will open up an opportunity for other pockets of capital to take a step into this scene. For example, maybe because of this reliance so far on Nordic capital markets, we've not really seen a huge amount of family office capital gone into this sector. But we know there are, take US, for example, Atlantic Sapphire and others. US has the greatest concentration of family offices in the world. Many of them are highly devoted to sustainability and ESG, and I cannot see any reason for those types of investors to not go into this space as well.
Perfect, thank you. And finally, Carl, same question to you, and we'll wrap it up.
I think that we as a company, we are 100% sure that land-based salmon farming will succeed and it will become financially viable. And we're just months away from seeing that happen, which is very exciting. That being said, we're also quite sure that it's going to take a long time before land-based salmon farming is a real supply contributor to the global volumes. We think that in the next 5 years, we will be farming 75% of all global land-based salmon farming volumes. And we think that within the next 10 years, there won't be a lot of production all in all and a lot of harvest volumes. But that being said, and food for thought is what can happen 10 to 20 to 30 years from now, then we think that the potential is enormous and it's going to be very interesting to follow the industry over the next two decades.
Perfect.
I'd like to end with a story, Matt, if we have some time.
Go for it.
On that, because we talk a lot about, of course, we're looking ahead and 30, 40 years into the future, but this whole discussion reminds me of a story I've heard internally, and this is a true story, that back in 1969, Skretting started out its first commercial trials with pelletized feed for what was then a trout farming operation. And this was back in the day when the cages were slightly less complex than they are today, made of wood and metal grids. And the result of that trial was a 98% mortality rate using pelletized feed. And that was obviously the feed formulations were a bit different then. That was considered a tremendous success because 2% of the fish survived, which proved that it was possible to feed fish with something else than live feed, which was the standard of the day, and that was not sustainable in the long run. But any investor back then, looking at that trial, we would not ever blame that investor for walking away. And that investor would have missed out on an industry that has grown from essentially nothing to a multi-billion dollar industry. So I think it's useful to look at what has happened in the past as well and try to extrapolate that into the future.
Yeah, it's a great point, Eric, and it's you look at the Chile in the 1970s and It turned from nothing into the second biggest economic activity in the entire country, in where I'm sat right now, and provided employment to the south of the country that didn't have any principal industry. It's a great point. Thank you for sharing that. And so that's all we got time for. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Panaferd AX, Exit and Clean, Innovasea, and Skretting. And I'd like to say a big thank you to our panelists. There's great answers, and we've had some encouraging feedback. So thank you, Maggie, Eric, and Carl. I thought you did a great job on this webinar, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for inviting us.
I look forward to seeing you all now that industry events are starting to happen in person again, and that's a good thing. So look forward to catching up with you all soon.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Bye. Thank you.